And since it has been Pastor Appreciation Month, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who sent in notes and things. Those words of encouragement really do make a big difference. And I also wanted to take a moment to recognize all of our volunteers. If you volunteer here at Generations Church, just raise your hand. If you serve somewhere, look at that. Look around the room. Hey, at G Church, we don't operate in that 20% do 80%, right? Well, maybe a little bit, but we at least have, I would say at least 75% of our people that are serving somewhere close to it, right? It has been that. I didn't check the numbers right before I came up here, but I just wanted to say thank you. And also, we have a volunteer appreciation banquet coming up to celebrate you and to say thank you for all of your hard work. If you have not responded to that RSVP, I'm doing a shout out for Julie. Please put your RSVP in so that we can make sure we have enough food to feed all of you. We're going to have a lot of fun. All right. Well, we have been in this series. God is what?
Greater than.
Okay. We're going to need. Okay. When I speak, I need participation. So God is
greater
than the
high
and the
low.
Awesome. Okay. So, God is greater than the highs and lows. This message, we've been in this series for 4 weeks now, and we've heard from different people that speak. David Joyner spoke, we had Christina Bell speak, we had David Vestal speak, and they all spoke from this context, right? But this started at a max out. It was our max out theme. And so that was the main idea that we did, that we spent this whole afternoon on a Sunday encouraging our teenagers to know the truth that God is greater than their highs and their lows. That no matter what they walk through, the highest, most best accomplishment that they could ever have, God is still greater than that. There is no high greater than when you are in a relationship with Jesus. Amen? But also when we walk through the lowest of lows, and when we're in the valley of the shadow of death, that we do not have to fear evil, because who is with us? God. And he is greater than any heartache, any pain, in the worst, on our worst day, okay? He is bigger, and we don't have to give up because he is with us. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for giving me a voice. I thank you for giving me this word, Lord. I pray, God, that you would speak through me today, that you would open every heart in this room to hear you speak to them, God. Holy Spirit, move and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, today we're going to conclude the series with, "Do you see what I see?" Do you see what I see? Can we look at the same thing, but maybe not actually see the same thing? Possibly, right? We're going to look at Numbers 13, and we're going to read in Numbers 13. Now, this is the story of, it's funny, David Joyner actually used this same passage when he spoke, and he had no idea that it was our key passage at Max Out. He had no idea. And the same key scriptures he used are in my message as well, which is, if God's not wanting to get a message across to start and close the series with, I think that's pretty cool, right? I almost was like, do I need to preach something different? And God's like, no, I want to say it again, but I'm going to say it differently because some people didn't really catch it the first time, okay? So listen up. It's not going to be the same, and you're going to not want to miss it. The Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So I wanted to point out that the 12 men, the 12 spies that Moses sent out to scout out the promised land, they were all leaders. You see that? One leader from each of the 12 tribes. Caleb and Joshua were not the only leaders, and the others were followers. They were all leaders. And so as leaders, we need to be aware of, are we leading, how we're leading, okay? As we continue, just keep that in mind, that these are 12 leaders. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out the 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness. These were the tribes and the names of their leaders. So instead of reading it, I have a chart for you. You can see the chart of the leaders. You've got Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, Manasseh, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, and Gad, okay? Those are the tribes. And then the leaders, right there. You'll see I put Caleb in bold, and then Hoshea, son of Nun, in bold. That's actually Joshua, okay? to not be confused. So that Hosea is when we talk about Caleb and Joshua, that's who we're talking about, okay? So these are the leaders of the 12 tribes. Moses gave these men the instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. We're in verse 17. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like. So these are their instructions. Are you ready? All my second graders in the room. These are the instructions that Moses is giving the 12 spies. And I heard that you guys learned about the 12 spies at your back to school bash. Do you remember the 12 spies? Okay, we're going to talk more about them today. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak. Okay, so these spies are going in to scout out the land. Are the people there strong or weak? Are they few or are they many? See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or is it poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see. And it happened to be in the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the wilderness. So these 12 men, these 12 leaders of the tribes, they go into the land. They go into the land of Canaan, into the promised land to scout it out, okay? And when they get there to the valley, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. They also brought back samples of pomegranates and figs. So this is just one example of some of the fruit that they brought back. Grapes. Can you imagine having, who likes to eat grapes? Kids, yes, my kids love grapes. Sometimes we get little grapes, and sometimes, this last time I went, the grapes were like this big. But the grapes that they're talking about had to be way bigger than that because the clusters said that it took two men to carry it on a pole. I don't know about you, but all the grapes that I've gotten at HEB, I can hold it with one finger. So these grapes had to be really, 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 really big, okay? Really big grapes. That means this was an awesome place that produced really great crops, and this was a place that God was preparing for them, okay? After exploring the land for 40 days, so they stayed there. Did they just go there for a night? Did they just look at it from afar and go, oh, I think we can see some grapes? No. What did they do? They went into the land for 40 days, and the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel. They reported to the whole community what they had seen, and they showed the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country. That means, students, that it is full of amazing things, full of amazing produce, all the best fruits and vegetables and all the things. This is a very fertile place, okay? He said, we entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Who likes milk and honey? Some people can give or take it, right? But this was an awesome thing for them, okay? So just know, the land flowing with milk and honey was amazing. Here's the kind of fruit it produces, and they showed the fruit. And then the big but comes, okay? Pastor Bob always says, watch out for big buts, okay? He's talking about B-U-T. I know, you can laugh, okay? When you see a but, that means something's about to change, okay? La, 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 but... That means what comes after the but is going to be different than what they were just talking about. Does that make sense? So, but the people living there are powerful and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there. Everybody go, giants in the land. The descendants of Anak, hey, we got second graders in here, so we got to keep it lively, and it'll keep you adults awake too. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites. So he's just talking about all these descendants of Anak, that they are these big, big giants. Can you imagine the tallest person you know, bigger than that? Okay, bigger than that. Like 9 feet tall. That's around how tall Goliath was, and these are giants too, so they're probably close to that. It doesn't give us their exact measurements. So they're talking about how these giants are so big. Now we got another but. But, everybody say but. Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Now this is Caleb talking. He's going to change the perspective again, okay? Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. Do you see a difference there? Wait, the giants are so big. Hey, we can conquer this land. They went and they saw the same thing, but their reports do not match up. But, everybody say, but the other men, So this is the 10, okay? Because Caleb and Joshua are actually together on this. It just uses Caleb's name right here. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. Who's ever been privy to a bad report that's been spread, right? Do you always know it's a bad report? Can we sometimes believe a report because the majority says it? So you've got the 12, they come back. You have 10 that are saying, we can't defeat those giants. They're too big for us. And then you have 2 that are saying, we can conquer it. And who do the Israelites listen to? The 10. They listen to the 10. They listen to the majority. And then they all get upset as well, right? So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes in there alive. Okay. Did they go in there alive? Did they come back? But evidently, this land is going to devour anyone who goes in there. Where are they getting that perspective from, I wonder? All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there. Yeah, you said that earlier. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. Okay. I can't get as small as a grasshopper because I'm much bigger than one. But imagine how small they felt next to these giants if they felt like grasshoppers. Then they go on to say, and that's what they thought too. So now these 10 have made a judgment. A judgment is when we make, I'm trying to explain it in second grade terms. A judgment is when we make a decision about something before we have all the facts sometimes, okay? And we are making a judgment that, in this case, they're making a judgment that the giants thought they looked like grasshoppers. But the Bible never tells us that the giants told them anything. It's not like, remember David and Goliath, when you learned about David and Goliath, and Pastor David Vestal talked about it last week. Goliath was down there taunting and saying, come out and fight me, I'm going to destroy you and feed you to the carcasses, or feed your carcass to the things. The vultures, the wolves. And so these giants are not speaking. They could have been speaking, but it doesn't tell us what they said. This right here is next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. It's all in their mind. It's all in their mind. And don't you know that the enemy wants to defeat you in your mind to make you think that you can't go up against a giant? And we have to learn how to decipher, is this God speaking to me or is this the enemy speaking to me? And they were deceived. They felt like they were in the right. And basically, I'm going to paraphrase this next point. But they basically decided to try to overthrow Moses. When Caleb and Joshua stand up again to say, come on, guys, we can take this. God said we can do it. If God said it, then we can take these giants. If he promised us the land of Canaan, then he will take care of the giants. But these 10 that were leaders chose to not listen to Caleb and Joshua. And they actually got angry that Caleb and Joshua were so positive. And they were these negative Nellies. That they wanted to kill them. They wanted to stone them. Moses steps, it's just this whole big thing. You should go read in chapter 14 as well, because we're not going to have time to go in it today. But go throughout this week and read the entire passage. It's like a movie. Like you could go watch a movie of how it all plays out. So the community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb, and then Moses intercedes for the people. Moses is the ultimate leader here, and he's going, Lord, I need your help. These people are in uproar. You told us to take the land of Canaan. I sent out these 12 spies. 10 came back with this horrible report. 2 are saying it's good, but everybody's believing the 10. What do I do? And God's ready to just wipe them all out. And Moses actually intercedes and on behalf of the people who were turning against him to say, God, give us another chance. Forgive us. Give us another chance. That's what takes place in these next time. And so if you go down in actually verse 24, which there's not a slide for, but in chapter 14, verse 24, it says, but my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. And that's what I want to focus on here today. See, Caleb and Joshua, they saw the same thing. They went into the same land for the same 40 days But they didn't see the same way. Did you catch that? They saw the same thing, but they didn't see the same way. They saw from a different perspective. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 came back with a positive report, focusing on the promises that God gave them, that the land was theirs, and they knew that no giant could keep them from possessing that. But the rest just came back focusing on the giants, right? Now, Pastor David Vestal last week talked about where's your focus, that we got to focus, keep our eye on the prize. But this is an example, too, where focus is not the only thing that's important. It's also the angle in which you're looking at it, okay? Because selfies. Okay, you have permission to pull out your phone for a second. Who has ever taken a selfie? Okay, guys, you're just going to have to do it for the first time today because I know guys aren't selfie. I want you to turn your camera on, and I want you to put it on the mode where you can see yourself, okay? Everybody smile, okay? Now, I want you to hold it down here, right at about this angle, right here, and I want you to snap a picture. Looking down at it, and I want you to look at that. Wow. I'm really struggling. This lady, she actually posted on Instagram her selfie. Now, I want you to vote if you think that she has mastered the selfie game yet. No, she needs to learn a better angle, right? So look, in the same outfit, at the same time, seconds apart, look what she does. Change the angle. Kennedy didn't believe me that was the same girl. Okay? It's the same girl. Okay, just look at your phone. Now, I want you to look at yourself while it's down here, and then I want you to go up to the God angle. This is the God angle, okay? This is that angle. Now, sometimes people get the top of their heads. That's a little too far. But there's another girl that tried it as well. You want to see? Okay, yeah. Okay, this girl. Okay? But now watch when she changes the angle. See the difference? So, is the camera focused on the same thing? What's different? The angle is different. The perspective is different, and it makes all the difference. When we look from our perspective, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm stupid, I can't ever defeat that giant. Man, what is wrong with my double chin? And we pick out all our flaws because we're looking at an angle that the enemy wants us to look through. And it just so happens that this is a downward angle, and we're just going to pretend like hell is down here, okay? We're looking through this angle that is the perspective of Satan, that is the perspective of our enemy who wants us to look from this angle at everything that we do. And instead, we have to learn, what's my angle right now? When I'm feeling fear, when I'm feeling insecure, when I'm feeling worried, when I'm feeling like a failure, what's my angle? And I need to start asking myself, what is my angle? Because the angle makes a big difference, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say? And with all the selfies in the world right now, I pray that as you see selfies, you'll see this concept played out, that it will be a reminder to you that the angle matters, the perspective matters, and that when we have God's angle, we can see that we are beautiful, that we are smart, that we are strong, that we have what it takes, that we can be a man of God that actually walks and follows God. Amen? That we don't have to be like the 10, that we can be like the 2. Everybody hold your phone right up here and say, I want God's angle. I want you to take a picture of yourself from God's angle. Get the lighting right. If you got a hat on like Raymond, it's going to block your face. You might have to tip it up, okay? Get that good angle, okay? Okay, now, we're going to keep that in mind as we move forward through the rest of this message, right? The angle makes a big difference. They saw the same thing, but they didn't see the same way because they weren't looking from the same angle. They were not looking from God's angle. And I want you to ask yourself here for a moment, am I more like the 10 or the 2? Do I tend to be more like the 10 or the 2? Do I follow the majority or do I follow Jesus? Do I follow my feelings or do I follow truth, God's truth? Not my truth, God's truth. Do I allow fear to stop me from even trying, Or do I exercise faith and courage in the face of fear? Those are some questions you can ask yourself. Am I more like the 10 or am I, and what's my angle on this? Because if I find that my answer to these are, I tend to follow the majority, I tend to follow my feelings, I let fear stop me, I'm not being strong and courageous, then most likely your angle is from the enemy. But if you can say that you follow Jesus and you follow truth and you exercise faith and courage in the face of fear, then maybe you're looking from God's angle. And here's the thing. I don't want this to be an absolute. You're not just a 10 guy or a 2 guy. You're not just a 10 girl or a 2 girl. At any moment, in any point of your life, you can operate like the 10 or you can operate like the 2. So if Satan tries to tell you, well, you're not a leader and you're always going to just have this ho-hum, horrible aspect on life, then you need to change your angle and you need to say, no, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I don't have to keep looking from your point of view anymore, Satan. So you can just go walk out the door, okay? Both the 10 and the 2 saw the promised land. They saw the same things, but they didn't see the same way. The 10 saw the big giants, but the 2 saw that the big giants were not bigger than their God. Amen. Those big giants were not bigger than their God. We need a generation to stand and believe the promises of God. Amen. We need parents to stand and believe the promises of God in the face of fear. We need students to believe it. We need a generation to know who they are and whose they are so that they can actually look at a giant and go, my God is bigger than you. Insecurity. My God is bigger than you. Addiction. I don't have to bow to you anymore. I don't have to stay addicted. I don't have to stay enraged and full of anger and full of fear and full of insecurity. Amen? Here's the deal. We will be held accountable for how we respond to what God is asking us to do. If we are Christ followers, okay? Because all of them were leaders. And if you continue reading in chapter 14, it talks about how the 10 who chose not to believe, even though God had equipped them to believe, they actually were punished with a plague and they were all killed, okay? Everyone that was following them, that was over the age of 20, that was of fighting age, that God had equipped. So basically, God had Moses take a census. It's a record of all the men that could fight, 20 and above, okay? At the time, before they tried to go to Canaan, he took a census to know, so their names were recorded. And God made sure that none of those men that sided with the 10 ever saw the promised land. He waited until that entire generation died in the wilderness before 40 years later, he allowed Caleb and Joshua to lead the next generation into the promised land. Because the promise that God has for his people is not going to fail. But if we don't stand in line and get in obedience, then we will not see the promises. We will not get to experience the promises for ourselves. They will happen for those who trust and obey and believe like Caleb and Joshua. But for those who are able and capable and choose not to, it doesn't bode well for us. Doesn't bode well for you. We will be held accountable for how we respond. So, God, there's 4 main points that I want you to see as you take away. And there's a place for you to note here. God is greater than my fears. God is greater than your fears. If you fast forward through Numbers chapter 27, Moses commissions Joshua to lead the Israelites, okay? So Moses transitions authority to Joshua, okay? Then we're going to fast forward again to Joshua 1. Moses has died now. Moses didn't even get to see the promised land because of unbelief that he had at one point. And Moses was full of faith so many times, but he questioned God in a moment, and God said, for that, you will not get to enter the promised land. Fast forward again to Joshua 1. Moses has died. The time has come for Joshua to lead the people. And in Joshua 1:9 is where Joshua has to say that he needs to be strong. And God is commanding him to be strong. And this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is greater than your fears. We can be strong. And he says, I'm going to be with you. And so often what happens is that we sit and we go, show me God, then I'll go. Right? Anybody been there before? Show me God, then I'll go. If you just show me how you're going to take these giants out, I know you're going to pull out your God sniper skills and you're just going to flatten all the giants and then I'll walk into the land. But that's not usually how God operates. He wants us to trust in faith that the promise that he gave us, he says, go and then I'll show. So see, for Caleb and Joshua, the giants weren't already defeated before they entered Canaan. They still had to go defeat those giants, right? But they had to go first. And then God showed up, and what happened? The land became theirs. Amen? God says, go, and then I'll show. And so often, we're waiting around for God to show, and then we're going to walk in it. And he says, no, I want you to say yes, and I want you to go, and then I'll show. Just like John said about Noah earlier, I loved that. Build the boat, Noah. Build a boat? Okay, I'll build the boat in the middle of the sand. When they say it never rains, there's a song called Build a Boat. You should go listen to it. It's my kid's favorite. Noah chose to build, and then God showed up, right? He obeyed first, and he walked in obedience. Our key scripture here, God is greater than your foes. So number two, so God is greater than my fears, and God is greater than my foes. This is the same thing as God is greater than my enemies. A foe is an enemy, but it starts with the letter F. And all of these start with the letter F, okay? I did learn something from my dad. I learned a lot, but this is one thing. So God is greater than your fears. God is greater than your foes. Joshua and Caleb saw the promised land eventually because they kept their faith and never gave up. But they still had to fight the giants standing in their way. Our key scripture, Romans 8, 28 through 39, which is actually on our wristbands that we gave out at Max Out. And today when you leave, I'm going to have them available if you would like one. This bucket has all the adult sizes. And I have small ones for the kids as well in the orange buckets. But God is greater than my highs and lows. The key scripture, Romans 8, 28 through 39. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Amen. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? And right now we're talking about foes. We're talking about enemies. And we have to make sure that we understand what this scripture actually means. Because does it mean that we will never have an enemy? No. That no one's ever going to be against us? That's not actually what it means. It actually means that no one can condemn us, okay? Because if you read further, it says, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. Who then will condemn us? No one. See, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is the one who brings condemnation on us. And what this scripture is saying, that if God is for us, now we're going to fast forward into like Jesus came, right? And Jesus died and paid the price for all of us. When we were talking about the 12 spies, that was before Jesus came, okay? So God handled sin and punishment a little differently then. But now we're talking from a perspective where Jesus has already come and conquered all of sin and death. And so because of Jesus dying for us, that actually defeats the giants when we put our trust in Jesus for salvation. It can seem like a complicated concept, but it's actually quite simple. So this is saying that if God is for me, who can ever be against me? No one can condemn me. No enemy that comes against you, no bully, no boss, no bully in your head, right? No enemy, physical or spiritual, can come against you and condemn you when you've put your trust in Jesus for salvation. Isn't that amazing news? Isn't that good news? So they can try to talk. We can't always shut them up, okay? But they cannot bring condemnation on us. And that is such good news. The giant in front of you is not greater than the God inside of you, amen? If God is for me, who can ever be against me? Or we could say it like this. If God is for me, no one can condemn me. If God is for me, no one can condemn me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world, right? In life, we have foes. We have bullies. We have these things. We have people out to get us. We have corrupt people in places of authority that we could view as our enemy. We can feel overwhelmed when we think about these things. Has anybody ever had an enemy that's made you really scared and has made you do something different because you were thinking, this person's going to get me? Or this spirit, this Satan is going to get me, right? The enemy, Satan, is behind all of those, okay? He uses people, but it's really from him. And it's interesting because one of the first max outs I ever preached at, we did worship, we did the games, and I go up to get up to speak, and four kids stand up and walk out. I didn't know why. Afterwards, I found out that they were told that they could never listen to a woman preach. The church that they had come from taught that. Now, I could view those kids as my enemy, but they're not my enemy, even though they stood up and walked out in the middle of one of the first messages that I delivered. You know who was behind that? Satan, because he wanted to shut me up. And you know what? If God has equipped you and God has empowered you and God has sent you on a path, you cannot let that cannot bother me. I can't let that stop me. I have to recognize, no, that's Satan. And it's really not even their fault because they were taught it. But I prayed for them that they would get the revelation one day because some of them were girls, boys and girls, that they can learn. Chance told me one day, he said, if I can learn art and arithmetic and science from a female, why can't I learn the word of God from a female? And I was like, great perspective, babe. Great perspective, babe. So some of those things we just, especially when I'm teaching teenagers, he's like, all the teenagers have female teachers and nobody says a thing about it. But why is it, if it's a female youth pastor, everybody goes, and it's been infiltrated in the church for a very long time. And sometimes passages in the Bible get skewed to say certain things that God is not actually saying. And so we need to be really careful that when we read the Word of God, that we're looking from God's angle and not from this angle, okay? God is greater than your feelings, your failures. God is greater than your failures. He is not moved by your mess ups and mistakes. When you are weak, then you are strong. When you put your trust in Jesus, you are strong, even though you are weak. And when you fail, here's the deal. Romans 8:35. So as we continue that key scripture in verse 35, it says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? No. When we mess up and when we fall into trouble, that doesn't mean God doesn't love us anymore. But many of us believe that. We believe this lie that, oh, God doesn't love me because I messed up. That is not truth. That is from Satan himself. And we have to learn to say, no, I am still loved, no matter if I fail and mess up. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And in another translation, NIV says, we are more than conquerors. Here's the deal. Where is the victory found? In Jesus. So are we expected to be perfect? Are we expected to be perfect? Okay. Scripture actually promises us that we will fail, that we all fall short. It is impossible for humans to not fail. He wants you. He doesn't want your perfection. He just wants you. He wants you to give him your heart. He wants you. He's not expecting perfection. That's why he sent Jesus to live a perfect life, to die in our place, because he knew that as humans, without the God factor, see, Jesus was all human and all God. So he could do the things that we couldn't do. But because he conquered sin and death, we can put our trust in him for salvation, and the victory is ours through Christ Jesus. Amen. It is impossible for humans to not fail, okay? Failure is inevitable. So why do we fear it so much? The Bible actually tells us in Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and fall short. All, that's everyone. No matter the person that is the most squeaky clean, made all the almost right decisions in the whole world, without Jesus, they go to hell. Without Jesus, they go to hell. Good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. People that put their trust in Jesus for salvation and say, thank you, Jesus, for doing what you did for me because I couldn't do it. Failure is inevitable, so why do we fear it so much? It's one of the biggest fears I have kids tell me. I'm afraid to fail. I'm scared to fail. I'm scared to fail. I'm scared to fail. That is not from God's angle. That God is not expecting you to be perfect. He wants you to have a repentant heart when we mess up. He wants you to be striving because he knows that it's good for you, because he knows that sometimes those big failures cause bad consequences that hurt our hearts, right? God is greater than your feelings. This is the fourth and final one. God is greater than your feelings. Romans 8, 28 through 39, as we conclude this passage here. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Our worries, our feelings, none of that about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God isn't just greater than the highs and lows in our life and the world around us. He is also greater than the highs and lows within us. That emotional roller coaster, those feelings that constantly change. Here's the deal. Feelings change. Feelings change. God remains the same. And we cannot trust our feelings to dictate the way we operate. Okay? When we are feeling a certain way, we need to ask ourselves this question. What's my angle? Why do I feel insecure right now? What perspective am I looking from? What's my angle? Most likely, I'm looking from this angle. And I need to get into the Word of God, and I need to see God's angle about what He says about me, that I don't have to be insecure, that I can trust that my security is in Jesus. Amen? When I am fearful, and I'm not looking at the Bible, and I'm looking at my phone or the internet or Instagram or whatever, the mirror, what's my angle? Why am I feeling like this? Am I going to let that dictate the way my day goes? No, I'm going to pull out the Word of God, or I'm going to pull out worship that is declaring the Word of God, and I'm going to change the atmosphere in the room because I'm going to declare truth. Because feelings change, but God remains the same, and we have to choose God over our feelings every time. And so often, the world is telling you, trust your gut, trust your gut, trust your gut, trust your gut. Sorry, but your gut did not save you, and your gut changes all the time. And there is something called the Holy Spirit, who is God with us. And sometimes when they say trust your gut, they might be, if they're coming from a Christian perspective, they might be referring to the Holy Spirit. And yes, trust the Holy Spirit, because when there is peace, then you can follow where He is leading you. But if you are not at peace, and what you're feeling does not line up with the Word of God, that is not. Don't follow those feelings. Amen? We got to... The worship team can come and play on the keyboard for a little bit. We got a call or a text yesterday about a student that used to be a student of ours, and that to start praying because he was having suicidal thoughts. And I sent it out on our prayer team. But do you know how often that happens, and how many of you have experienced those people? And maybe you have experienced it yourself, where your feelings are causing you to feel like it would be better if you weren't here anymore. Some very young people feel that. And the anxiety that Satan has put on this generation is insane. But God is bigger than any anxiety. God is bigger than any fear. But His bigness only works when we look from His angle. Because He is bigger than it all, but if we don't choose to believe it, that doesn't help us. Gunner, can I invite you up here for a second? We all have a story. These pages up here, come here, Gunner. These pages up here represent the stories from someone's life, maybe from your life. It's a lot of life. Some of you have lived a lot of life. Some of you have lived a short amount of life, but we all have stories. And can I just say that when we look, when you are looking from out there at this story wall, it looks awesome, right? It looks great. You're not reading all the fine print. You don't know what it actually says. But the truth is that most of us, the giants that we're really fighting, we don't expose. We keep them in the dark. We keep them hidden under the pages of our life because we're embarrassed. And as long as we keep them hidden under the pages of our life, under the perfect selfie profile, under, hey, everything's good today. This is good. This is good. And we never open up and be honest about those true giants that we're facing. And everybody just thinks that we're fine. But really, underneath, when we tear back, can you help me, Gunner? When we tear back the pages, when we open up and get honest, most of us have a giant that we're battling. Come here, Gunner. When you look at this giant, it looks pretty big compared to you, right? Would you say that looks big? Have you ever dealt with any of these things? Failure? Loneliness? No? It's good. Good, Gunner. Hey, the adults and teenagers in this room have, okay? Unbelief, identity, fear, anxiety, failure, pride, selfishness, lust, suicide, depression, confusion, gossip, rebellion, rage, entitlement, loneliness, self-image, apathy, broken homes, addiction, shame, jealousy, unbelief, rejection. We don't always know who's dealing with this, but can I just tell you, most of us have something on this list. And that when we look from our perspective, this giant can feel so big. But Dustin, can I invite you up here? Dustin's going to be God for a moment. We're going to change the angle. Don't worry, it's not going to go to his head. We're going to change this angle, okay? Can you get on your dad's shoulders? All right, Gunner. Does that giant look a lot different now? Are you looking from a different angle? You're bigger than that giant because you're looking from God's perspective. And for all of you out there, I want you to take this in, because this is what God does. When we put our trust in Jesus, it's like God saying, hey, climb on up. Let me show you my perspective. When we open the Word of God, He's saying, hey, you feel like you're about to lose it. You feel like you should take your own life. You feel like you should just call it quits. You feel like you shouldn't try out. You should just, no one would care if you disappeared. They wouldn't even know you're missing. You know, those are lies that the enemy speaks. And we have to open up the Word of God, and we have to call some friends, and we have to say, I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling right now, and I need you to speak truth to me. I need you to tell me what God says. I need you to give me God's perspective. And when we open this Word and we start reading what He says about us and what He says about the situations and how He says, I have a land that I've promised you. I have a land that I've promised you. And are you going to look like the 10 that are down here going, we feel like grasshoppers next to all these giants? Or are you going to climb up on God's shoulders? And are you going to say, show me your point of view, God. Show me your point of view. Because Dustin might be tall right now, but he still needs to climb on God's shoulders and look from God's point of view, because it makes all the difference. Thank you. If you could bow your heads and just stand. I'm just going to ask everyone to stand. What do you hear God speaking to you right now in this moment? I hope you hear Him say that He loves you, that He sees you, that you matter, that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I hope you see God speaking to your heart, that He created you on purpose, for a purpose, that He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and that you need to stop looking from the enemy's angle and start looking from God's angle, because what He has to show you is amazing. The way He created you was just right. When the world tries to tell you that God messed up when He created you, or when you believe that, that is a lie from the enemy. Father God, I thank you for each and every person in this room right now and those that are listening online, God. I pray, God, that they would just set down Lay their feelings at your feet, God. And say, show me. Show me how you see me, God. Show me how you see this situation, this thing I'm facing. Show me how small it is in your eyes. And right now, if everyone in this room has not made Jesus their Lord and Savior, I want to be able to lead you in a prayer. Because without Jesus, this stuff doesn't work. He is the only way. And if you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior and you haven't given your heart to him, if you would just slip your hand up so I can see you. Anybody? Young? Old? Maybe you're listening online. I'm going to lead you in a prayer and we can all repeat it, because if you've said it before, you can repeat it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, that I fall short, that I'm not perfect, and I need you, Jesus, to be my Savior. I believe that, Jesus, you are the Son of God, that you came to this earth, you lived a perfect life, and you died on the cross and shed your blood for me to pay for all of my sins. Today, in this moment, I choose to lay down my pride and accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lead me, guide me, show me your point of view. I'm so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. As the worship team closes out, I'm going to be available down here to pray, and we'll have a couple of prayer partners if needed, but I wanted to make sure that you had a reminder as you go. So feel free to come up during this last worship song and grab a bracelet. Adults here, kids here, and let's go out believing that God is greater than our highs and lows. Amen.